Bible says, how can a young man keep his way pure? And the answer is by living according to your word. The Bible says, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your command. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The word of God is just everything to me. You know, it says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And I love the word. And when you read the Gospels, the disciples, they knew what it was to face the storms. They, you know, faced a storm on the Sea of Galilee. But this storm that I'm going to talk about today, really, Jesus gave them like a last charge. But they were scared. The disciples were scared when they were on that boat. It looked like they were about to die when you think about it. And Jesus didn't even seem to care. He was sleeping. But they made it through that storm because of Jesus' power to still the wind and the waves. And years later, they were getting ready to face another storm, a different kind of storm. And the storm they were getting ready to face, I believe, was going to be much more severe and having a much longer duration than any they had faced before. And Jesus was going to be gone now. So, and you're listening, God, I put, so Jesus gave them this last charge in the last three verses of Matthew to let them know that this storm, like the last, they had to submit to his authority and it would not be able to destroy them. 3 points today, three verses. First point, number one, you can trust that Jesus will use his power to protect you. It says in verse 18 in Matthew 28, and Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So Jesus declared that he had all the authority. Authority in heaven and earth, the power to affect any situation in a positive way to gain a desired outcome. It was obvious that Jesus had this kind of power in heaven. But the question for disciples was, does he have that power on earth? And Jesus even taught his disciples earlier to pray that kind of authority that Jesus clearly had in heaven and it would be manifested on earth. I prayed this prayer many times growing up in the Catholic Church. I'm sure Debbie Kruger prayed this prayer. But we prayed that Lord's Prayer at the end. It said, your kingdom come, your will be done on heaven as it is in earth. Debbie, how many times did we pray that prayer? Oh my gosh, go and give confession. You know, Father, forgive me for I've sinned, I've cussed, I've said bad words, I lied to my parents, I missed Mass three times. Go ahead, little Nick. You know, pray 10 Our Fathers, 25 Hail Marys, whatever. But Jesus' authority had lately come into question. When I look at what Pilate said to Jesus in John 19, so Pilate said to him, you will not speak to me with a question mark. Do you not know that I have the authority, this is Pilate speaking, to release you or the authority to crucify you? And Jesus answered him and said, you would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin. Boy, I'm sure they pondered that for a while. The Pharisees also questioned Jesus' power. In Matthew 27:40, he says, if you're the Son of God, come down from that cross. The disciples had many times seen Jesus use that authority to positively affect a negative, seemingly impossible situation. I thought about it a few times. In Mark 5, he told the demon to leave, and it did. In John 2 that we looked at last week, he changed water into wine. In John chapter 6, the fish and the bread were multiplied. In John 11, the dead came out of the grave, and he himself had even come out of the grave. 1 Corinthians 15, 54 through 57 says, when the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's something to get excited about. And then I thought about that old hymn. And I thought we could sing the chorus together. Praise God. Let's sing it together. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He brought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me and knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. That's beautiful. Man, I even heard some harmony there at the end, man. Praise God. Somebody saying, don't ever let him lead a song. Praise God. That's why I play trumpet. Praise God. I should have brought my trumpet and played that, but it would have been bad. Praise God. Jesus reminded them that the power that He possessed, because they were going to need it. He reminded them of that. He was sending them out on the same mission that He had been on the last 3 years. And maybe I have a question to ask you today. Do you think Jesus is sending us out on a mission today? Raise your hand if you truly think Jesus has a mission for us today. It's power. Arcadio, it's okay if you raise your hand, man. But we're on a mission. Seriously, it's going to be difficult. They were going out as sheep among wolves, Jesus told them in Matthew chapter 10. He told them that if He was hated, that they would be hated too, the disciples, because their message was going to be the same as His. The news about the mission was not good, but the news about Jesus was good. He could handle whatever the mission was going to bring them. You know why? Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. The road was going to be rough, and Jesus was going to tell them, if the road is rough, you need a plan to get it. So the first point is, you can trust that Jesus will give you the power to protect you, because He's going to give us a mission today. Number two, you can trust that Jesus will use His plan to direct you. In verses 19 and 20, He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So I don't think Jesus really ever did anything without a plan. He wasn't going to leave earth and go back to heaven without communicating His plan to disciples. And that the fact that Jesus had a plan would give them greater confidence for this storm that they were getting ready to face. Knowing that someone in authority has a plan usually helps calm people's nerves. And the first part of that plan was probably the hardest. Go. That's the hardest part of our plan, is to go. Going requires you to take a risk, to leave behind that which is comfortable for the sake of the people that need you have to offer. Think about it. Let's read that together. Going requires you to take a risk, to leave behind that which is comfortable for the sake of the people that need what you have to offer. And that's what Jesus did. And that's what He's calling us to do today. That's what He called the disciples to do back there. And He's calling us to do today. Think about it. He doesn't call them or us to go empty-handed. We take the gospel. On the seats today is a plan that we have for you today. And that is this postcard that we put together. Really, as a staff, we got together a couple months ago to start praying about and planning about Easter. And we thought we'll come up with this card when you leave here today. After you get filled up with that Irish Lido's pizza, you'll see a banner out there. The same thing, rise to hope. Because that's what we want to give to our community. We want to give them hope. And guess what? You are the best instruments that God wants to use to bring that hope. Seriously, so we put this card down on your chair so that you would take it and invite someone. And I'm thinking, as I'm praying and going over this message, and I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will give you someone's face in your mind right now someone, maybe a neighbor he wants you to write, or a spouse, or a child, or a teenager, or somebody at your job that you know has never heard the gospel before, but can come here on April 1st and hear the gospel shared. So it's so important. So he gave us this plan. We have, how many are being mailed? 2,500 cards will be mailed to homes in the immediate area. Nate told us he's going to put one of these in every student here in their bag to go home for their parents to invite them in case they don't have a church home. I invited one of the teachers this week, Nate, back in the back. Michelle, I heard she has 9 kids, so I'm going to keep a row separate for her. She got 9 kids, praise God. I hope she brings them all. He has a plan for us, and that's to go. Luke 24, 46 through 47. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead." Get it? Rise in hope. "And that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." That was a promise from God's word. And that's a promise for us today. And you remember our series for March and April is called Rise and Hope. And we have a little, that's what you see on the banner when you go out here. And every week, every message leading up to that. And after Easter is going to be about that. So the second part of his plan, when I see from these verses in Matthew 28, was he wants his disciples to take the message that the death of Jesus paid the price, the price of sin's debt, and that the resurrection of Jesus defeated the penalty of sin so that anyone who places their faith in him can have life and have it more abundantly, that they can be born into a new family, live a new way of life on earth, and have a home in heaven prepared for them when this life is over. John 14, 2 and 3 is read many times at funerals. "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself. And that's where I may also, may be also." That's our hope. That's the good news. That's great news. But it's not enough really to accomplish the plan, because these disciples, just like today, need something beyond salvation. We need growth. We need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the last thing Peter said in 2 Peter. So I don't think Jesus wants us not just to be born into a family, but to learn the obedience to the Father. Isn't that beautiful? Wouldn't every parent want that for their child? To not only accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, but learn how to be obedient to him. And this was the pathway. This is the pathway of blessing and effectiveness as we become disciples of Jesus Christ. The final part of Jesus' plan for his disciples to accomplish his mission was them to baptize new disciples, to bring them to the point where they will be willingly give everything they had, including their lives, in the sacrifice of Jesus. If there are some people here that haven't been baptized but have accepted Christ as their Savior and would like to be baptized, please put your name on the prayer sheet. Put your name on there and say, "Yeah, I'd like to be baptized." There's a couple children are waiting to be baptized right now. Praise God. They knew that when they went under the water, and you know when you come under the water that you're going to give up your old way of life, your old former allegiances, to wholeheartedly, to sacrificially, to unreservedly follow Jesus. It was going to need something extra in order to be able to succeed. So Jesus promises presence. That's the third point. So point number one, you can trust when you're going, when you become a disciple and you're going, you can trust that Jesus will use his power to protect you. Two, you can trust that Jesus has a plan to direct you. And the third one, you can trust that Jesus will use his presence to encourage you. That last verse, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. It's beautiful, end of the age. The reason that Jesus was giving this charge to his disciples, because he was getting ready to leave. Think about it. Jesus wanted to pass on to them the mission that he had begun and they would continue. And 2,000 years later, it hasn't changed. We're still on a mission, every one of us, to take the things of God and make them known to the people he puts in our path. But as he told them he was leaving, he promised them his presence. Could both realities be true, that Jesus would be gone, but we would still have his presence? And that's the Holy Spirit. I thought of an analogy to express this would be the words of a parent as their oldest child leaves to go to college in that first semester. They're leaving home. And you want them to know that they're not going to be alone, that you'll always be with you. She hears the word. She knows the sentiment. But she also realizes that she will actually be alone without her parents. But though her parents will be thinking about her and will definitely regularly contact her, but she won't be able to hug them every night like Maddie hugs Elizabeth. The presence of her parents will not be there. And that's what Jesus was talking about. Some kind of an emotional tie between them that was supposed to be to bring comfort. And there was far more than what Jesus was saying. Because on that same night, Jesus told them that he was leaving. He also told them about the coming Spirit. And he said that rather that the Spirit would be with them at Jesus, just like Jesus had been with them. Look at John 14, 17 and 18. And this is the promise that Jesus gives us. Even the Spirit of Truth, capital S, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you of orphans. I will come to you. So then on that day, Jesus did leave. But he told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the coming of the Spirit, because it was the Spirit that was going to give them power to fulfill the steps of his plan. And I'm sure Keith Comer used this verse when he spoke here a couple weeks ago, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Fauquier County and Prince William and Loudoun and all the counties to the end of the earth. So Jesus was going to be with them. His teachings, his examples, his Spirit, they were truly not alone. If the band and the ushers want to get ready. In closing, I would say twice the disciples had faced storms. In the apparent absence of Jesus. But once he was asleep, he wasn't even there the second time. But both times, think about it, Jesus was fully aware of the storm and the seeming danger that it brought. But both times, Jesus used his authority to bring an end to the storm. He was asking them to walk willingly into the worst storm they had ever faced. And there was no question I put in your listening guide about the wind and the waves obeying him. The only question was for his disciples, would they obey him? Then and would we obey him now? 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, honor Christ as Lord. Honor the Christ the Lord as holy. Always be prepared to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. But do this with gentleness and respect. And the last thing I put in your listening guide, because a commentary for this says this: the believer must understand what he believes and why one is a Christian, and then be able to articulate one's belief. And how do we do that? Humbly, thoughtfully, reasonably, and biblically. And we can trust that the Holy Spirit would be that for us. Please pray about who the Lord wants you to invite. You realize you can invite someone that doesn't know Christ and they could come in here on Easter Sunday and the veil would be taken off their eyes, and they would understand who Jesus is, understand that he died on the cross for them, understand that he was buried to pay the price for their sins and rose again and sits at the right hand, Father of God. Ushers, come forward. Father, thank you for your word today. Lord, thank you for that charge that he's given this church. 2,000 years ago, he gave us his charge to go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them everything you have commanded, baptizing them. And he promises us he will be with us forever. And Father, for the next 2 weeks, help us to pray for Easter Sunday. Help us to pray as we reach out to these communities, as these cards are being mailed, as these cards are being personally handed to someone, and invite them to church here so we can have some new family members so that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, I lift all those up that are sick today. Father, I lift up this lunch today. I pray for the food. I pray that we're going to be blessed with the fellowship and the eating of this food, Father. And Father, I pray that you bless our offering right now, Lord, like you do every week, Father. And I just give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you play, I feel like I want to share, and something came into my mind in the staff meeting the other day. I came from a church that had like 2,600 people in it. And there was many times, go ahead, you can collect the offering now. There was many times where the pastor there had to ask staff members to wait to cash their check. And I've been here for 13 years now, and there's never been a time where I've had to ask that. There's never been a time where I've had to ask a staff member, hey, can you wait to pay your check because we have these bills to pay? God has blessed this place, man. He has blessed this place since it's opened here, since it's been here. And I just want to thank you all for your giving and your tithing and your serving and your praying and your worshiping. Thank you for the master's degree in worship today. And Father, I just love you today, Lord. So we're going to just open up the altar. We're going to sing one song, and then we're going to dismiss you and tell you what's happening. I'll come up and give the directions, or I'll give my little girl, Elizabeth, up here, man. Praise God.